Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We want to take as our theme this afternoon how to recognize God's voice. It's part of that wider series of learning to hear God speak. And as I mentioned already, we considered those four ways in which God may speak to us, and one of them being that he gives impressions to our mind. And we've come back today because we want to know, we want to be able to decide and discern these impressions that I'm feeling. Are they truly of God? How do I know that I'm not just talking to myself? Because we have a tendency to do that, where we confuse what I want with what God wants. We want to avoid that situation. We want to be able to say with our Savior, not my will, but thy will be done. We are also very conscious and aware that Satan can speak to us. We know that he can plant thoughts into the mind. We know that we can absorb ideas and notions from society around us. Perhaps something that you've read might register with you and come back to your memory at some time later. Is that God at work? Is it the flesh promoting an idea? Is it the devil seeking to get us off course and away from God? We need to be certain. And we want to know when these impressions that we feel, whether or not they are of God or not. Now, it may not be a big issue if all that we're deciding is what restaurant to go to or what colour of socks to put on in the morning. But what if it's a major decision? What if it's a real issue that we need and require to hear from God? How can I be certain that this prompting that I'm feeling is truly of God? Well, John says, beloved, try the spirits. Test and see if it is truly in accordance with what God desires. So we have to learn to distinguish God's voice. We have to decide and discern, is this really God that's speaking to me? And I want to give you some help in that regard, some ways to test the spirits, as John has said. And these thoughts, these ideas that I'll give you will serve as a filter to weed out and to filter out those things which are not of God. Now, let's see if we can come and give some help in this regard. The first question that we ask when we consider these impressions, these thoughts, these leadings that we might have, firstly, does it agree with the Bible? There's where we start, because we can rest assured that that feeling, that prompting that you have within your mind or heart, that if it is from God, that it will not contradict what he has written in his word. The Savior reminds us in Luke 21 and verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In other words, what the Savior is saying is that the word of God is never out of date. It is always relevant. That means that whenever God speaks, it will be in accordance with what is written in this book. God will never ask us to do something that will violate or contradict what he has previously written for us. God will never ask us to ignore or disobey what this book says. He doesn't say one thing and then at another time say something different. God is consistent. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is the same yesterday, today and forever. Everyone and everything else may change, but the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. So if God said it in the past, He will say it again in the future. He is ever consistent. So there are some things that are absolutely clear. We are to render to Caesar such things as are Caesar's. So God is not going to tell you not to pay your taxes. We might say, well, the government wastes our money, and they cheat and they lie, and they never use our finances in the right way. Therefore, I'll keep it to myself. God told me. God wouldn't tell you that, because He has already told us to render to Caesar. God will never tell someone to leave their spouse and their family and take up with someone else because you deserve to be happy. Because He already identified in the Word of God that we are not to commit adultery. God will never tell you to do something that is inconsistent with what He has already said. And the main reason why we as believers get offside with God, because we follow what we believe to be a prompting or a leading from the Lord, is because we haven't checked it out with the Scriptures. Is it in accordance with the Word of God? If it's there in black and white in your Bible, you don't have to pray about it. You don't have to consider it. You just have to do what it says. Do we need to pray on a Sunday morning whether we should get out of bed and come to church? No, we don't need to do that, because the Lord has told us we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. When the offering plate goes past, do we need to stop and pray whether we should give of our offerings to the church? No, because the Lord has already identified that we are to tithe our income. Do we need to pray as to whether we should tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? No, because God has sent us, each and every one, to bring the message of the gospel to those that have never heard. If it's in God's Word in black and white, we do it unquestioningly. We do it without a shadow of doubt. We build our life upon this book. It's only as we fail to come to the Word of God that we miss what God has said, and we take a wrong step. So the best advice that I can give you about testing these impressions or feelings is, how does it stand up to the Word of God? Check with the book. Check it out. That's why we encourage you to read your Bible. That's why we encourage you even more to memorize your Bibles as best you can. Be familiar with it, so that God can bring to your remembrance such verses and passages that are relevant to whatever it is you're asking of. So that's the first of those filters. Is it in accordance with the Word of God? Let me give you a second. This thing, this impression, this feeling, does it make me more like Christ? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, in your lives, seek to act and think as Jesus Christ. He's the standard by which we measure everything that we do. God has already stated that His aim for our lives is to make us more and more like unto the glorious image of His Son. That's not to say that He's going to make of us a God, but He would make of us godly. We therefore are to have the character of Christ, of love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering, the fruits of the Spirit. Christ should be seen in our life. Therefore, God would never tell you to do anything that would contradict or hinder us from reaching that goal of being more like our Savior. So ask yourself, will this thing make me more Christ-like? James asked the question in James 3, verse 14, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." In another word, you know that the impression hasn't come from God if it brings about bitterness, envy, or selfish ambition. And he goes on to say, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." You can see the difference, can't you? One of them is Christ-like and the other is not. God's wisdom, his leading, is not about selfish ambition. So if we come with an idea that enables us to promote ourselves, that will give us instant fame, instant wealth, instant comfort, it's not from God. Because the Lord isn't interested in ideas for our self-promotion, our self-serving, our selfish ambition. If we get an idea that's going to promote conflict, especially amongst the people of God, it's probably not from God. We have to ask ourselves, this thing, this leading, this idea, what will it do to others? Will it hurt them or harm them? Will it build them up in their faith? Will it tear them down? Will it encourage them in the gospel? Will it discourage them? If this idea is genuinely from God, notice what the scripture says there in James, that it will be easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. It will be considerate. A lot of people who come saying, "God told me to do this," it's just an excuse to knock everyone else out of their way because they feel that they have a divine mandate to do it. And they don't care who it hurts or who it pushes aside, because they are convinced, "God told me to do this thing." You would have to say that God didn't tell them. The Bible said that God's wisdom is easy to be entreated. It's considerate. Therefore, we don't have to be dogmatic and thrust our will upon others. This is a will that's easy to be entreated. It's submissive. It doesn't lead us then to arrogance and to bragging about how God is directing us. If we're self-righteous or egotistical about it, we're promoting self and it's not of God. God's wisdom is full of mercy. If you've truly had a leading from God, then it's going to cause us to be gracious towards others, not judgmental. The Lord Jesus is our model in this. I know that it was popular a few years back for Christians to wear bracelets and necklaces and all things with WWJD, what would Jesus do? The problem was they never read their Bible to see what Jesus actually would do. But the idea was right. Does it make us more like Christ? Do we ask ourselves, firstly, does it line up with the Scriptures? Does it make me more like the Savior? Thirdly, does my church family confirm it? When you become a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus, we not only have a new relationship with God, but we also gain a new relationship with other people. We call it the church, the family of God. We become part of a new family. And just as it is within our earthly families, where the Lord never intended us to make every major decision in our life by ourselves, He also sees fit that we gain help and advice from wise and mature Christians in our spiritual family. Those who are grounded in the faith. Those who have perhaps a little more time and maturity and experience under their belt. Proverbs 1 and verse 5 tells us that a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. In other words, if you're really smart, you'll get advice. We're foolish if we think that we always know the right thing. If we are always acting on our own intuition without checking with those of mature faith. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. It's God's intent that through the church that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. So if you have an expression that you believe has come from God, He's going to confirm it through other believers. And the reason that we make so many mistakes sometimes is that we want to do things without any sense of accountability. We don't want to be accountable to others. We don't want their counsel or their advice or their guidance because we are afraid that they might say no. But the book of Proverbs reminds us that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We're not called upon to a solo approach to the Christian life. We have to be open to the checks and the counsels and the correction of mature believers. That's why the Lord has established, even within the church, the various offices of those of mature men that are able to give leadership and guidance within the church, that they watch for the souls of those that are accounted unto them, that they might give their reports and their account unto God with joyfulness, not with grief. The Lord has placed within His church these checks and balances. Check it out with other believers. What's the general consensus amongst the church? This leading that you're feeling, this guidance that you think you have, is it an agreement? As a pastor, I want you to know that oftentimes that we only start to ask for advice when things start going wrong. Or someone will come to us and say, I want your opinion about such a matter. And you give them your opinion, but it's not what they wanted to hear. So they'll keep asking other people until they get the opinion that they like. My advice is don't do it. Don't do it. It's better to seek the advice of mature Christians before things start going wrong. And it's through the knowledge shall the just be delivered, Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 11 and 9. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. If God has spoken to you, then other Christians will be able to confirm it. You'll be delivered. You'll be saved, Proverbs tells. Saved what? Saved money, perhaps. Saved time. Saved reputation. Seek wise counsel and advice. I wonder how many mistakes could have been avoided if only we had done that and listen to what we had been told. Let me give you another filter. Ask yourself the question, is it consistent with who I am and how God has made me? We read in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We all know verses 8 and 9. For by grace shall be saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When God saved us, his handiwork is seen within us. He has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he himself has before ordained that we should walk in them. God has prepared in advance a work and a service for you and I to do for him. Now you think about that for a moment. When God saved you, we became his workmanship. He has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God has prepared in advance what he would have us to do for him. Before you were born, God planned your life. Before God made you, there was a purpose in mind for you. You're not here by accident. You're here by reason and by purpose. God has designed you specifically for that work he would have you to render for the Savior. You are his workmanship. God has designed you with a purpose in mind. Take a chair, for instance. It's designed in a certain way. It's got a seat, and it's got a back, and it's got four legs, or three if you're sitting on a stool. But the design was made to fulfill a purpose. And the purpose for which the chair has been designed is for someone to sit upon it. This microphone before me has a very different design because it fulfills a very different purpose. Chairs were designed to sit upon, microphones weren't. Microphones are designed to amplify our voice, to carry it throughout the building, but you can't speak through a chair. The design reveals the purpose. The same thing's true for you and I. We were designed in certain ways. God has shaped us in certain ways. It may be that our attitude or our attributes or our characteristics are made for a certain purpose. We're shaped for a particular career or a particular ministry, a life that involves using the gifts that God has given to us. Perhaps our passions, our desires go in a certain direction that the Lord would have us to serve him with. Things that we care about. There's other things we could care less about. Some things that we love to do, some things that we hate doing. Some things that we are interested in, some things that bore us to tears. The Lord created us with a certain emotional makeup. God made us, designed us, created us in such a way we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for these works that God has before ordained. And why has God created us all differently? Because he has different things that he would have us to do. Some people love working with figures. Some can't count past the number of fingers that they have. God's made them different. One will be an accountant, but the other undoubtedly won't. Some love to work with their hands. Some are good at designing and making and rebuilding mechanical things. Other people can't tell one end of a screwdriver from the other. We're all different. Some love to cook. Some love to eat the cooking. But God has given us different gifts, different abilities. You may be good with words. Another will be good with numbers. Some will be good with children. Some will be good at repairing things and mechanical things. We're all different. All designed differently because we all have particular tasks to carry out. And the Lord gives us different experiences and abilities
and opportunities depending upon those things. Why am I saying all of these things? Because just as the design of the chair reveals its purpose, so too does the design and the shape of our lives reveal our purpose, what God would have us to do. If God gives you great gift as a musician, it's very unlikely that he'd have you serve him as a mechanic. It's not how you were built. If, however, you're tone deaf and can't carry a tune, it's unlikely that you'll be the church organist or lead the singing. As the Lord has gifted us, so he will lead us. So if you get an impression from God that seems to be leading or directing in a certain way, ask yourself, is this consistent with how God has shaped me? If God were to say to me, I want you to resign your post as pastor of Kingston Free Presbyterian Church and become an Olympic sprinter, I wouldn't have a doubt at all in my mind that that wasn't from God, because it's not how I'm built. It's not how he's shaped. And a lot of things of God's will for our life has to do with looking at how we've been designed. What are we good at? What do we love to do? Romans 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. If God has given you an ability to do a certain thing well, then do it to the glory of God, because God's voice will not contradict how he shaped you. He'll not go against that basic design. So if you've got a leading that seems to be contrary to how you're made, unless there's other counsel from the scriptures, just ignore it. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that God will not take you out of your comfort zone, because God will do that. That's why I'm here this afternoon. God has taken us out of our comfort zone. Nor am I saying that God will not provide you with the necessary gifts for the tasks that he asks you to do. And again, I point to myself. My own testimony is such that I went through my years in high school probably speaking no more than a dozen words a day. When others heard that I'd called to the ministry, they said, "You? Surely not." But as the Lord calls us, he can nurture us and he can develop us and he can mold us into what he wants us to be. There will be growth and development. Now, if I was still preaching at the same level that I was 20 years ago when I first entered Bible college, then I would have some reason to doubt whether God had called me or not. God can use what we have and develop it and make it grow. But the initial gift will be there, though it may be well hidden. Another thing, and I'm conscious of my time, but another filter. Is this in thought or impression from God? Let me ask you to decide this. Does it really concern me? Does this thing really concern me? If it's not my responsibility, why would God reveal it to me? And we have a wonderful example of that in John 21. The Lord Jesus is talking to Peter, asking him to feed the lambs and the sheep, and he is explaining to him how Peter will be in his old age, being laid about by the hand, telling him how he will die. And he explains to Peter that he will suffer for being a Christian. And Peter very inquisitively turns around and points to John the Apostle and says, "And what shall this man do?" And the Lord Jesus said in the Hall translation, "Peter, it's none of your business. Don't worry about it. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." In other words, I only need to worry about what's going on in my life. I don't have to worry about what God's will is for your life. Because when we listen to God, it's for Him to speak to me. And when God needs to speak to you, He will speak to you. We need only concern ourselves with what is God's will for me. For, as Paul says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. When we listen to God's voice, we listen for ourselves, not for God to tell us what another should do or what they should be involved. And we need to be careful lest we think that God has told us something that somebody else should be doing. That's very dangerous. A lot of very well-meaning Christians, perhaps well-intentioned, but certainly presumptuous, have caused a great deal of trouble and damage when they've come to others and said, I believe God would have you to do this. If that's truly the case, God will tell them. I've met with some who have been visited by other Christians, and they said, you know, God has told me that you're going to get well. God has told me that you're supposed to invest all your money with me. What we're saying is that I have direct access to God, and God speaks directly to me, and He has told me on your behalf this is what you should do. Don't believe it. Certainly not without checking it out, without bringing it to God. We all have direct access to God. We can all come to the throne of grace in times of need. We can all pray for ourselves, and God can speak to us through His Word and His servants, no doubt, but speak to God direct. Does God speak to me about other people's business, perhaps? But only to confirm what He's already said to them. It's not that He's told me first. I've no doubt that there have been times that as I've been preaching that God has had a message for another, but it's not the first time they've heard that message. It's merely been a confirmation of what God has already been leading them to do. And what I've found primarily is that if God is speaking to you about someone else, about helping them or speaking to them or doing something for them, He'll usually use you in a way that you're not even conscious of, so that our ego doesn't get in the way and we're not filled with pride. He'll use us without us knowing it. You'll just be speaking to someone and you'll tell them of an experience, or you'll recount a verse that spoke to your heart, and you'll have an unimagined impact upon their life. And God has confirmed to them what He has been saying, unknown to you. These are ways that God speaks to us and through us. These are ways that we can examine, is this a leading and a guidance from God? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. There's one last thought, and I think it's an important one to finish with. Do we sense the peace of God about it? Paul says to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So if you're feeling confused, we can rest assured that the confusion is not from God. It may be coming from ourselves, it may be coming from others around us, but it's not coming from God. And if we feel pressured and overwhelmed or driven to make a hasty decision, a major decision, and you're being pressured to take this choice, that's not how God works. There's not one example in the scriptures where God has said, rush to a major decision, not once. God is patient and long-suffering. God would rather have you make a right decision than have you make a quick decision. And if God is genuinely speaking to us, and we believe that the idea is coming from God, there will be a peace that comes with it. And if you make that decision and you don't have the peace of God, perhaps it's time to review it and reverse it. God's Spirit produces a calm and a peace. Worry and anxiety never come from God. In fact, He commands us not to worry. Be careful for nothing. And if that leading, that guiding brings you into worry or concern, it's not from God. His ways are peace. We all have many and major decisions in our lives when we need to hear from God. And if you're making major decisions without taking the time to listen and say to the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is the next step? Lord, show me, lead me, guide me. If we're not checking the Scriptures, if we're not seeking godly counsel, if we're not following these steps and filters, we're only setting ourselves up for failure, for a misstep, for getting off course with God. It makes sense for us to listen to our Creator. God doesn't play games with us. He's not seeking to confuse us. That's not the way that God acts with His children. He would have us to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He wants you to know it because He wants you to follow it. And these ways, I hope, of trying the Spirit will help us to filter out all of the distractions, all of the wrong advice, all of the wrong guidance, in order that we might know and hear and follow the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the secret, if it is a secret, to hearing God clearly, is simply getting to know Him better. Knowing Him better every day. The more that you spend time with Him, the more that you read His Word, the more that you listen to His voice, the more you'll understand Him, the more you'll know Him, the easier it will be to hear Him speaking to you. You see, the more time you spend with a person, the deeper the level of communication. There's not a married couple here that can't testify to this, that you know sometimes what the other's thinking before they even open their mouths. You can finish their sentences for them. Perhaps you've both started to say the same thing at the same time. You're so in sync with one another. It's because of all the time that you've spent with one another. The more time we spend with God, the better we know Him, and we know how He thinks, and we know His Word. I have one last thought before we finish. We've been speaking this last number of weeks about hearing God speak. But I wonder if you've ever heard God speaking to you. And I say that because it's those who are saved that hear God speak. And if you have never heard God speaking to you, could it be because you're not converted? John chapter 8 verse 47 says, He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. The Lord Jesus says something similar in John 10. He says, My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. If we have not heard God speak, if we have not heard the call of the Savior, is it because we are not His? And if that should be the case, it is our prayer this afternoon that you listen attentively to the word of God, that all that God in his mercy might speak to you, and that that still small voice of the Spirit of God would bring you in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. So ask yourself, have I ever heard God calling me, God speaking to me? Perhaps others might look back to days past where God's voice was clear and consistent. But right now it's a little bit fuzzy, somewhat distant. Maybe there's static on the line. Maybe you haven't heard from God in weeks or months or years. But the voice of God does not come as clearly as it used to. Is there a blockage on the line? Is there sin somewhere that's hindering the communication between yourself and heaven? Is there something wrong in your life that needs to be addressed? That God is not speaking until we deal with that issue. Perhaps our heart has grown cold. We're no longer as sensitive to the things of God as we used to. May the Lord in his mercy reveal these things to us. And may we have that clear communication with God. To say that I want that relationship that once I had before with God. Where I could talk with him in prayer and he talked with me in the scriptures and through his word. May we not be satisfied with just the odd word here and there from heaven. May there be that constant flow of communication. And may we hear God speaking to lead and guide and direct. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious Father, speak to us through thy word, we pray. Lead and guide and direct us in the pathways of life and of righteousness. May we not turn aside into sin, into the ways of the world. May we hear the warnings of God when we would take a misstep. Know that we would be followers of the Lamb, having heard the voice of the Shepherd, that we might follow after him, that we might be led to the green pastures and still waters. Know the blessing and nourishment of God even for our souls. Lord, guide us, we pray. Each and every step of the way might we be able to say, as we have sung already this evening, all the way my Saviour leads me. Lead us through the truth of God, that we may be more Christ-like in all that we would say and do, and that we might bring glory and honour to thy precious name. Be with us, we pray, and may thy Holy Spirit write thy word upon our hearts, that we might consider and ponder these things even in days to come, and might we know the guidance and leading of God. May we try the Spirit, whether they be of God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.